Move away from the Arab League for a moment to analyze the speech that was given by the Syrian president Bashar al-Assad for the first time in over a decade. We have once again with us Ibrahim Fraihat joining us here. He's an associate professor of conflict resolution at the Doha Institute. How significant was this moment, do you think?
Well, there are many important points actually mentioned in his speech. And let me start with the, where he ended, actually, with thanking the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Which is, this is how politics works. I mean, the enemies of yesterday are the friends of today. Saudi Arabia used to be the country that is taking the lead in removing the Assad regime from office, and now the Assad regime is thanking those who devoted huge resources to remove him from office. So this is how the politics or the new politics of the region working. Now, the other thing, he emphasized the Arab identity and the Arab identity of Syria and linking that to the entire or the, to the broader Arab region, which is, again, is emphasizing the concept of that Syria and the Assad regime here being part of the larger group and the entire region. It's interesting that actually that he mentioned the expansionism of the Ottoman of the Ottomans, referring, of course, to Turkey and Erdogan on that level, which is indicates that tension has been still continuing,
right,
despite the many attempts that were made in the past year or so, is for Turkish-Syrian or Turkish-Syrian normalization, because there were made many statements and meetings, foreign ministers were met in Belgrade and in several other places. But it seems that this track is not working yet. And that's why it was mentioned mainly in the Assad's regime.
What of course, I picked up on is that he also mentioned the New World Order. He mentioned that. And also, he did say that the Arab League summit is a historic opportunity to address regional issues without foreign interference. What's behind that message?
Exactly, which is the same message that appeared in all other speeches. And we were discussing earlier today is that it seems that the major theme of this Arab League is that multipolarism and a new world order, and as a result, a new regional order. And for this multipolarity, is that the Arabs can take or can secure a position in a multipolar system, world system. So it seems that this is the main theme that guiding the whole thing. And of course, as a result, in order to pursue such kind of a theme, the assumption here on the level of the Arab presidents is to bring Syria or the Assad regime back to the region, back to the Arab League, and be part of this. So I think that's where the uniting or the common message among all. Now, whether this is going to succeed or not, this is a whole different argument. We don't know yet. It's yet to be seen. There are many challenges to this. Because also Bashar al-Assad, in his speech, he mentioned the issue of financial support, development.
Right.
You know, he referred to replacing chaos and war with prosperity, economic prosperity and development, which is, again, I think he's counting on being awarded or rewarded for what he did in order to help him move into the new strategy. So I think that's basically the major points mentioned.
Okay, Ibrahim Fraihat, thank you so much. We'll let you go for now. We appreciate your analysis. So earlier on, we heard from the Saudi Arabian Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman. He was speaking at the Arab League summit. Here's what he had to say. Let's listen in.
We can't allow our lands to be a platform for conflicts. Enough with the conflicts that have crippled development in our region. It's with pleasure today that Dr. Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, is present here as the League of Arab States has handed down a resolution allowing Syria to resume involvement in our meetings. And we hope that this will contribute to the restoration of peace and security in Syria in order to lift up and resume its role in the Arab region for a better future for the entire region.
Okay, so that's a live picture once again from Jeddah. Speeches still going on. That's the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, who we heard from just a few moments ago. He was giving his speech. We have with us Al Jazeera's senior correspondent, Hashim Ahelbara, here on set. So, Hashim, what did you make of what we heard from the Syrian president?
Well, when you listen to that speech by President Bashar al-Assad, it's a defining moment. It's the end of an era, the beginning of a new one.
Right.
I was in Sirte for the last Arab summit in 2010 before the Arab Spring. And the talk was about the need to reform the Arab League. Came the Arab Spring, which was a defining moment in the modern history of the Arab world. And we know what happened after that. Instability, violence in different parts of the world. And Syria became a focal point of that moment in the Arab Spring. It has divided the Arab world, and many of the Arab nations sided with the opposition, providing significant military and political assistance to the Syrian opposition. Now it's the reverse, rehabilitating President Bashar al-Assad. And the speech he made, the need to bring about unity and put an end to interference, is quite a defining moment. And this would never have been possible without the political leverage of Saudi Arabia, particularly Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, because we have to remind our viewers that in November 2022, the Algerians, when they had the Arab summit, they were looking forward to invite Bashar al-Assad. And then the feeling that moment was, no, you know what? It's a very touchy issue. It's a very divisive issue. We cannot afford to lose most of the leaders of the Gulf region because of Bashar al-Assad. And then the feeling was, let's set this aside and then let's wait for another moment. But the Saudis managed to use the leverage to convince everyone, except for a few countries which decided not to attend this summit, to invite Bashar al-Assad, which means farewell to the Arab Spring. The world has to understand, particularly the Arab world, they have to deal with the reality on the ground, which is basically talking to Bashar al-Assad about the future of Syria, convincing the opposition that it's over. But then they will have to grapple with more than 10 million Syrian refugees who have nowhere to go. They were hoping that tomorrow there will be a political settlement. There will be a Syria without Bashar al-Assad. But now, I think this is going to be one of those shattering moments for those millions of Syrians who now have to understand that it's the moment where they have to reconcile with the reality, which is Bashar al-Assad will stay in power, backed by the Arab League.
But leading up to the summit, Hashim, there were still divisions amongst some countries who were still against bringing Bashar al-Assad back into the Arab League. But let's also talk about the optics of this, because not only is he there, he has a seat at the table, but before the speeches began, we actually saw a handshake between him as well as the Saudi Crown Prince. Of course, this after 12 years of suspension.
Now, just on this, the Emiri Diwan, Qatar, made a statement that the Emir has left Jeddah and is back to Doha after attending the summit. Qatar was one of the countries which said there is no way we'll reconcile with Bashar al-Assad because of the huge problems which are still there. Morocco made the same thing, that no reconciliation with Bashar al-Assad. Kuwait. But apart from that, the prevailing sentiment is it's about time to invite Bashar al-Assad. And it's quite obvious that this, as I said earlier, it shows you the huge growing political leverage of Saudi Arabia. This would never have been possible without Saudi Arabia. So they are the ones who invited him, and they are the ones who... and this happened in Jeddah during an Arab League summit in Jeddah. What it means for the future, of course, on a unilateral basis, the Moroccans, along with the Qataris and the Kuwaitis, will say, no way. We have to, first of all, deal with some of the problems which we believe are still there before we reconcile with Bashar al-Assad, and particularly Qatar, which has been very vocal about there is no way we will reconcile with Bashar al-Assad. Because we have to remind our viewers that until about a few years ago, most of these Gulf countries were saying that Bashar al-Assad is a criminal, describing him as a criminal. They were saying that Bashar al-Assad has destroyed his country and that Bashar al-Assad has to go. They have teamed up with the international community and the Americans in particular on the need to create an environment that would pave the way for Bashar al-Assad to leave. Now they are telling people the reverse. They are telling them the opposite of what they have been saying for quite some time, which is basically you have to understand that Bashar al-Assad stays in power. And by the way, it is prevailing sentiment to the point where the Turks themselves, one of the key arch-rivals of Bashar al-Assad, are changing. And we do understand that it was just a matter, it's just going to be a matter of time before President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, if he wins the election, he will have to meet with Bashar al-Assad, because there were talks and there were meetings between senior Turkish and Syrian officials about reconciliation.
Okay, Hashim, we'll let you go for now. Thank you so much for that. We also, earlier on, heard from the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky. He had addressed the Arab League summit in his first visit to the Middle East since Russia began its invasion. And he called for support to help protect the